I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The story you're about to hear on Love, Lust, Fear is true. Some names, places, and other identifying details may have changed to protect the storyteller. Love, Lust, Fear may contain graphic language and depictions of sensitive situations. Please listen with caution. Next on Love, Lust, Fear.
We were joking about how we dated when we were younger, and we still had the same sort of sense of humor. And the things that made us get along, I felt a special connection to him. It seemed like every time we had plans with somebody else, he would throw a fit and throw some sort of tantrum, or he would end up getting me so upset that I would be crying and I just wouldn't even want to go anywhere anymore, so that he would get his way. And he would bring people over who would like use drugs and stuff. And I just didn't want that in my place. Like, I remember confronting him about it, and he said he can do whatever the fuck he wants. And he pushed me and slammed my head into the wall. We stopped at this bar that was near the apartment. He was in there with a girl, and he looked shocked, and she didn't, because she didn't know about me, apparently. She was just sitting there. I walked up to him, and I was like, oh, hi. And he looked at me like, ugh. And I said to her, hi, I'm his girlfriend. So I was like, okay, this guy is a complete piece of shit. This relationship is pointless, totally pointless. We're cheating on each other. I don't even tell anybody about him anymore. He's horrible to me. When we are together, I feel like he didn't really like me. He just liked controlling me and the fact that I had gotten rid of him and there was nothing he could do about it was making him lose his mind.
Back in the early 90s, a spirited 11-year-old named Laura was a regular at the mall, always up for a slice of pizza, leading the cheer and entertaining everyone as a class clown. It was during one memorable summer at camp that Laura found herself drawn to a classmate. And as fate would have it, the feeling was mutual. Thus, a sweet middle school romance began. But despite their ages, he was far more sophisticated in both social graces and romantic gestures, his thoughtfulness and attention to detail well beyond his years. Overwhelmed by his affection, Laura confided in her parents, bringing an end to this early chapter of their story. Then, nearly a decade later, after a major tragedy shook Laura's world, followed by a tumultuous period of self-destructive behavior, they cross paths again, now as adults. Laura discovers his familiarity, charm, and humor as a comforting embrace. Yet as their romance blossoms, Laura finds herself entangled in a toxic and violent situation that promises no fairy tale ending.
I think I was a pretty well-behaved kid. I did really well. I was always on the honor roll. And I'm a redhead, so I could get picked on by a lot of people. And I was too feisty to be targeted by bullies because they tried and I would always fight back. I had to switch schools when I was in third grade. So I had all new classmates and everything. And on the first day of school, I stood up and I did the robot in front of the class. I don't know why. I made a bunch of friends. So I knew him from when I started in third grade. He was at that school. And then We went to fifth grade camp. I remember we were hanging out all the time and I got one of my crushes, and I guess he did too. And then the whole, do you want to go out with me? So we were boyfriend and girlfriend, I guess. Our parents would take us to the mall. They would take us to this local place. We used to go there all the time and we'd have pizza and hang out. They'd take us to the movies. We did all kinds of stuff together. I remember we bought each other on Valentine's Day the one year. We happened to get each other the same gift, and it was a Vanilla Ice tape. We opened it up. We're like, oh my God, we bought each other the same thing. He became friends with all of my friends. He integrated himself in pretty much everything in my life. He knew all of the things that I liked, all of my favorite things, and he remembered everything. He had the best memory of anybody that I have ever met. It was bizarre, like Rain Man style to that extent. He was at all of my birthday parties, and he would buy me gifts that were always more meaningful than any of the other gifts I would get, just really well thought out. You wouldn't expect a kid in fifth grade or sixth grade to be doing that. He would talk to my parents, and if they were out somewhere, if he was shopping with his mom and my parents were there, he would talk to them and be like, how is she doing? And, you know, how are you guys doing? And talk to them like, just, it was just a little different from a regular child. My mom used to throw parties all the time for us. We had a pool, so we would have friends over in the summer. She would set everything up. We had all these lights hang, you know, from tree to tree, and she would play music, and it would be all that early 90s stuff. And we would slow dance, the two of us. And he was my first kiss. It wasn't like a real kiss, but like a kid thing. He used to always want to meet in between class, and we would pass notes. And he would always write like these long notes, and he would always put like this little thing at the bottom was a T, an L, and an A he put together, which meant true love always. It made me feel uncomfortable because I didn't feel as intensely about it as he did. Like, I just wanted to hang out with my friends and have fun, and I didn't want to dedicate all of my time to a boy. And my parents thought it was just weird. He called too much, and they were like, you know, you're 11 years old. You don't need to be in a relationship. My parents said, you don't have to do this. Just call him up and tell him that you just want to be friends. So I did. And I remember him taking it pretty hard and me feeling really disconnected from it because I wasn't in love with him. He was calling me for a while afterward and saying, you know, he just wanted to talk, just like he always did, almost like he was ignoring what I had said to him. And he continued to do that for a long time. And he actually would call me every year on my birthday. Even after high school, he still was doing it. We did get along. We were really compatible. And we had friends in common that I really liked. You know, I wanted to spend time with them, but he'd always be around. And his next girlfriend was also named Laura. My mom was killed in a car accident when I was 12. I had a really hard time. And one thing it really affected more than anything, I think, was my confidence, my self-esteem. Mothers tend to have a huge impact on their daughter's self-esteem. She made me feel great. And I was a cheerleader and a dancer, and I was in all these different things at school, and I was really popular, and I felt good about myself. And then after she died, I felt like the biggest piece of shit. So it really didn't help who I sought out to bring into my life. I feel like, okay, this is what I deserve. I started hanging out with a totally different crowd, and I started dabbling in drugs and things like that. I started failing out of school, and I had a completely different mindset. So relationships I had after that, I had a guy I met when I was 16. He was a grade below me. I would still get phone calls from the guy I broke up with when I was 11. And he would be like, he's a loser. And he would ask me what I was doing with him. And he would say kind of nasty things about him, say he was ugly, and try to make me, I guess, stop liking him. I kind of had to cut off the friendship and everything too, because he was just continuing to act like we were boyfriend and girlfriend. And I didn't like it. So after I met this guy when I was 16, we ended up dating for 4 years. So we were together for a long time, and that relationship was not healthy at all. He was really controlling. I lost touch with a lot of my friends. So when I broke up with him, he brought me like a 12-page letter he wrote. I didn't want to go back. I was done with it. And that's the thing. It takes me a while to get there. But then once I do, I'm done. Only maybe a couple of months went by, and my friend, one of my best friends, shows up at my house and has this guy with her, my first boyfriend. And I was like, oh my God, I remember you. Because we hadn't spoken in a long time. And even if we did, it was just him calling and saying happy birthday, or, you know, we were joking about how we dated when we were younger, and we still had the same sort of sense of humor and the things that made us get along. I felt a special connection to him. He had these memories of my mom that I didn't have. I just didn't remember. And he would mention these things, and it was so nice to hear. And he and I started getting closer and closer, and he was using his charm on me, and it was working. And he had actually grown up to be pretty attractive, and that was, you know, a plus. So we ended up sleeping with each other, and it just kind of evolved into we're boyfriend and girlfriend. We didn't really establish that, but he started telling me he loved me again, and we started hanging out like every day. We had a really great time together, and we loved all the same things. We'd go camping together, and he made me laugh like nobody did. I mean, he would have me in tears, like where I couldn't even stand. I was laughing so hard, and I loved it. It wasn't like getting to know a new person. It was almost like I found him again. I used to love going to amusement parks. I loved roller coasters and everything, and I wanted to go as much as possible. We were supposed to go the one day, and my friend, she called me and she's like, all right, let's go. We started to leave. We were halfway down the driveway, and he said something to me like, she's a fucking bitch, I can't stand her. And I was like, where did that come from? He's like, stop, I don't want to go. We're not going, or at least I'm not going. And then I was like, okay, fine, you don't have to go. And he says, you said you were going to spend today with me. I called my friend and I said, we're not going to go. And I was really disappointed. I did that. He was happy. He was good. He was all pleasant again. And he got his way. He started doing that more frequently. So it seemed like every time we had plans with somebody else, he would throw a fit and throw some sort of tantrum, or he would end up getting me so upset that I would be crying and I just wouldn't even want to go anywhere anymore, so that he would get his way. I was already in love with him. And when that happens, even if you're upset with the person, you rationalize it. I used to use AOL Instant Messenger all the time to talk to my friends. So I had an extra phone line, and I would just leave it connected all the time and just have Instant Messenger logged in. I wasn't really worried about what he would see, because he knew all of my friends and I didn't really have secrets from him or anything. The same friend, actually, that he called the fucking bitch, she sent me a message and she said something negative about him, but it wasn't like horrible. It was just like, is he going to be there again? And he saw it and he wanted to type to her. He wanted to say horrible things to her. And I was like, she's my friend. Leave her alone. Stop. So I had to fight him to stop him from typing to her. And then I started to type to her to say something. And he picked up the keyboard from my desk and slammed it on my hands. And I just looked at him and I'm like, what the hell just happened? The look on his face was just like kind of blank. He was just on a mission to make this happen, and he did what he was supposed to do. Like, he didn't look at me like, ooh, what did I do? Oh my God, I'm sorry. It wasn't like that. It was like, he just didn't care. That was the first physical thing that, I mean, I was like, wow, I did not expect that at all. So we ended up moving in together. It was less than a year after we started dating. I just wanted, you know, to be free and be an adult and everything, I guess. And he moved in there. We had this agreement. We were going to split all the bills, and he was working and I was, and I ended up always having to pay the bills all the time. Rent would come due and our landlord would just show up, and I would be like, I have to write the check. And I would write the check, and then I'd be like, where's my half? And he would be like, oh, I'll get it to you. and he almost never did. So we moved out of there, moved back home. He was controlling me more than ever. My friends were really not talking to me much anymore. I decided to go back to college for graphic design. I went somewhere a little farther away, so I had to live there. So I moved out there and he wanted to go with me. And again, he promised he would pay half the bills and he didn't. He came to me the one day, he didn't have the bank account, and he said, "Can you deposit this check for me? I had an old bank account and I closed it out and this is what's left of it. It would just be easier if you deposit it and just withdraw the money and give it to me." And I was like, "Yeah, that's fine." I didn't think anything of it, nothing. So I did. And then over a period of a couple of days, I withdrew. It was $1,600. So it put my bank account in negative and they were calling me and I was getting charged fees and I was freaking out because I never did that before. So I was really upset. And my dad got involved. My dad yelled at him to pay me back, but he got physically aggressive with him where he puffed up and like came at him like in an intimidating way. And I'm like, "Do not threaten my dad." That really was just, it's so disrespectful. So he stole money from me. And he became just, he was nasty. He was so disconnected from me. We never had sex anymore. And it wasn't even that far into the relationship. And he would bring people over who would like use drugs and stuff. And I just didn't want that in my place. Like, I remember confronting him about it. And he said he can do whatever the fuck he wants. And he pushed me and slammed my head into the wall. I was like feisty at the same time I was. And so I kind of came after him and I had a hairbrush or something and I like was going to hit him with it. Like I held it up like I was going to, but I didn't. He took it from me and he hit it on me so hard it broke. Not in my face or not anywhere anybody could see, but he broke it on me. We'd get into arguments and he would grab me by my throat and squeeze and choke me and look into my eyes and his eyes. I was one of the things I liked about him because he had these gold colored eyes and the white part would become like bloodshot and the center would almost look darker. It was like something else took over him when he was in those moods. And sometimes I'd just see him enter a room and he would look like that. And I was like, "Oh, I better not talk." I would just say something and it would just set him off and he didn't want to hear it. He would make sure to shut me up quickly with his intimidation. He was always disappearing. Didn't know where he'd go. And I also, while I was living there, went hiking with a friend. On the way home from hiking, we stopped at this bar that was near the apartment. He was in there with a girl and he looked shocked and she didn't, because she didn't know about me apparently. She was just sitting there. I walked up to him and I was like, "Oh, hi." And he looked at me like, "Ugh." And I said to her, "Hi, I'm his girlfriend." And she was like, "Ugh." She got a look on her face like, "What?" And I sat down with them. My friend and I sat down with him and we're like, "So we're having drinks then? We're just going to hang out? Let's do that." Just made it so awkward. He thought he was going to get away with it, but he didn't. After that, I said, "You don't even have sex with me ever. And you're like clearly meeting up with other women. That's obvious what you were doing." He's like, no. "She's just a girl from work." He just kept denying it and denying it. And that would stir things up with him. And I'm sure that was one of the triggers for him to pull out his knives and look at me or grab me by the throat just to get me to shut up about it. There were many other times after that he was unfaithful and I discovered it. I always took pride in the fact that I was faithful and it was a big deal to me. And then I said, "Screw it. He's not going to be faithful. I'm not going to be faithful." And I never cheated on anybody before that. This is how unhealthy the relationship got. I would drive by this girl's house that I knew he was hooking up with on my way home from the guy's house that I was hooking up with. And I would see his car there and I would call him outside and be like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "Oh, and he'd make something up. I graduated from college and everything. And we both moved back home to our respective parent. I'm like, "I can't take this anymore." I started behaving in a way that just wasn't me. I started cheating on him as well and sleeping with other guys. And it made me feel better. I felt like, okay, well, it was like a way to get him back without actually having to confront him directly. It went on a lot longer than it should have. I didn't feel like I deserved better. When I was going to the first school, I was open about my life with my friends that I made there. I told them all about him. They knew him. A lot of them met him. They came over, or he would sometimes come out with us, but very, very rarely. When I was at my next school, I was like, I'm not going to even mention him to anybody. I didn't want him to even be that part of my life. It was Valentine's Day, another Valentine's Day, and he showed up at my house really late, and he didn't get me anything. He didn't say happy Valentine's Day. He was just being a dick. And I was like, do you know what day it is? And he's like, yeah, what do you want me to do? And I was like, I don't know. You could pretend you like me. We ended up arguing about it, and we ended up outside somehow, but it was February, so it was cold and it was icy. Like, the ground was so icy. I said something about him being like selfish or something like that, and he charged me and shoved me so hard I fell into a frozen puddle, and I was like soaked. It hurt, you know. I hit my elbow really, really hard. I looked up at him, and he looked at me like, you're an idiot. You did that on yourself. You did that yourself. He blamed me for it. He's trying to tell me right after he shoves me, he didn't touch me. I saw more and more examples of healthy relationships like around me. And I started recognizing it and being like, this is just, I can do better than this. And I was feeling better about myself too, because at this point then I had all these new friends and I had 2 degrees, and there was a lot I had done that I never thought I would do. And I guess that kind of gave me the confidence really to dive into being single. I wasn't afraid of being single at that point. So I was like, okay, this guy is a complete piece of shit. This relationship is pointless, totally pointless. We're cheating on each other. I don't even tell anybody about him anymore. He's horrible to me when we are together. One day I was so just completely fed up, and he showed up at my house. He walked into my bedroom and I said, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. And he was like, what? Totally shocked. And he sat down next to me and he's like, don't do this. And like acted like he was going to cry. The whole time we were together, I cried all the time. Never once did he cry. I've never seen him shed a single tear. Even when like his grandmother died, it was just weird. And I just said to him, there's no reason for you to be here anymore. After that, he did continue to just show up at my house sometimes. Like it had never happened. Like I had never broken up with him. And when he would show up, he'd just walk in and I'd be like, what are you doing here? Just leave, you know, like what the hell is going on? And then he'd act upset like I had done something wrong. I went out with another guy a couple of times, and we went to my one friend's house, and he drove by while we were walking into her house. And some of my friends actually saw him driving by their houses when I was there hanging out with them. So he was trying to like keep tabs on me. He didn't say anything or do anything. He just wanted me to know he was still there. I feel like he didn't really like me. He just liked controlling me. And the fact that I had gotten rid of him and there was nothing he could do about it was making him lose his mind. So he threatened to kill himself a couple of times. Like he'd call me and he'd be like, I'm going to kill myself. And then he told me another time that he was seeing a therapist or something, and he was going to work through all this and everything would be better. And I didn't for a second believe it. And I didn't ever have any desire to take him back. It wasn't all like sunshine and rainbows after I broke up with him. It took a little while, but eventually I got out of that. And then I met my husband. I didn't know people like this existed in the world, because I had nothing but unhealthy, toxic relationships. And in fact, in the beginning, I was trying to sabotage this relationship. It's like I tried to stir up trouble all the time, and I don't know why he stuck around. And I say that to him sometimes, and he's like, I don't either. But he's really good to me. He's supportive. I can tell he genuinely cares about me. He has never, ever threatened me. He stands up for me. He's honest. And I mean, we've been together 16 years, so it's like, I feel like I know him pretty well at this point. I went to a party back in my hometown. I moved away from there, but I went to a party back there, and he was there at the party. And he comes up to my husband and starts telling him the lies, the fantastic lies. And my husband's like, okay, and walks away, you know, like, and then I think he texted me after that a couple of times. That stirred him up. I guess seeing me, he was like, oh, I can talk to her again.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
When I spoke with Laura, I asked her to reflect on some of the choices she made in the past.
I can't imagine being back there. And now when I look at it and I see the things I was doing, I don't know the reason why I did a lot of them. And it's just like something I can be conscious of now. I think that I felt like I was worthless if I wasn't with someone. I didn't have any confidence, but if I had a man who, you know, in quotes, loved me, I guess I felt like it made me worth something. So before I ended that relationship, I didn't even know what boundaries were. I didn't even know that that was a thing you could do. I had no idea. I learned about this and then I was able to establish boundaries and oh my God, it made me feel so much better because it gave me some control over my life going into relationships, not just with men, not that I'm looking for anybody or anything now, but with friends too, because I used to have unhealthy friendships also.
I asked her about the reaction she gets when she reveals how early she started dating.
It did start really early. And I don't know anybody else when I talk to people about that. And I say, you know, I started dating a guy when I was 9 years old. They're like, what? We were together 2 years. And then because we always told that story when we were together, because we're like, technically we've been together and we'd add the extra 2 years, you know? Right. It was like a little fairy tale kind of, you know?
I also wanted to know more about what she's done and continues to do along her path of healing.
I got really into working out. It just made me feel so much better. And I started meditating. I did transcendental meditation thing and I did the whole like course and everything. It really helps. It really, really helps. Even when something's going on, it's like the last thing you want to do is stop and let your brain go crazy. But, you know, they kind of teach you how to push thoughts away.
And finally, her perspective on first-time daters and what steps they should take to protect themselves.
That's definitely something that I've thought about. I say all the time, whenever I hear people who are like in their teens and they're talking about their boyfriend and they're like, oh, no, I have to do this because my boyfriend. And I'm like, why do you even have a boyfriend right now? I think that rationalizing is a problem. That was one of the things I wanted to mention. Like, you can't try to justify other people's behavior. You can't try to rationalize other people's behavior. If you're doing that, there's a problem. That's one of the things I wanted to say, because that's what I did. You shouldn't have to do that. That's you know, they shouldn't be putting you in a position where you're like trying to make excuses for them, you know? You always have to be vigilant, like all the time. I feel like there are a lot of people out there who I think there's more bad out there than there is good. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a pessimist. You just have to constantly be vigilant and you have to look for the little things. And the reason I say that is because I knew him for so long and you'd think I would have seen something early on, you know, in those years that I knew him, I would have seen something that made me go, nope, I'm not getting involved in that. I didn't feel like I deserved to be respected. I don't know. You just have to really find respect for yourself, I guess, and love yourself and everything.
By Laura's own words, the tragedy of losing her mother at age 12 sent her down a path of insecurity, fueling worthlessness and toxic relationships. And by the time she became an adult, she wasn't in a place to heal, nor did she know the steps to take. This became the perfect opportunity for her former classmate to resurface and provide a warm blanket of nostalgia, bringing false comfort and security to her life. While they were so young when they first met, as an adult, Laura didn't acknowledge the traits that made her uncomfortable as a preteen, his possessive and obsessive nature, and his smothering and emotionally intense behavior. She may have been searching for something she never had in the first place. And while this doesn't mean a reunion couldn't work in some situations, a question to ask is whether his early traits forecasted the controlling and abusive adult he would become. When he abused Laura and manipulated her vulnerability to exploit her, she compromised her morals and became a person she didn't want to get back at him and avoid confrontation. Luckily for Laura, she found the strength to heal, get healthy, and then find her happily ever after. Until next time, I'm Jake Deptula, and this is Love, Lust, Fear. Every guest featured on Love, Lust, Fear selects a charity or organization to share. Please check the show notes on this episode for more details. If you or someone you know is being abused by a partner, there is help available. The National Domestic Violence Hotline provides essential tools and support to help survivors of domestic violence. Just call 1-800-799-SAFE. That's 1-800-799-7233. Or you can text START to 88788. If you'd like to be a guest on Love, Lust, Fear and share your personal dating and relationship story, you can email us at lovelustfearpod@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram at lovelustfearpod. Disclaimer: the information shared on this podcast should not be considered as professional advice or a substitute for seeking professional advice.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.